Blog Talk Radio.
I've been getting all this money.
I've been spending all this cash.
I got one question for you.
Hey baby, let me ask you something.
When are you gonna work that ass?
Work
that ass.
Work
that ass. When are you gonna work that ass?
Ayo, I'm up in VIP, I see you standing at the bar. I'm dapper damn fresh, puffin' on a cigar. Douce in my cup, ace of spade in the bucket. Chillin' on ice, got a pocket full of ducats. What's your name, who you is, I'm tryin' to find out who you are. I need a designated driver, hit the keys to my car. I been getting all this money, all praise to Allah. Foreign whip, drop top, you could gaze up at the stars. Check out my appearance, nothing on me from clearance. This ain't happen overnight, this is years of perseverance. The night is still young, room service at the aroma. When you high off life, you never sober. Come closer.
I've been getting all this money.
I've been spending all this cash.
I got one question for you.
Hey baby, let me ask you something.
When are you gonna work that ass?
Work
that ass.
Work
that ass. When are you gonna work that ass?
Doing a fuck on the highway, switching four lanes. I've been getting all this cash, baby, money ain't a thing. Got the roof in the trunk, I could teach you how to stunt. What you know about rolling fruit punch in the blunt? You got me tripping, I forgot to mention. Ever since an infant, I've been on that pimp shit. I've been up and down, flying in and out of town. Reminiscing how I feel to make love in the air. Life is but a dream, sometimes it ain't fair. Keep your eyes on the prize and fall in love with a square. My neck and my wrists on Times Square bright. What's the point of living life if you ain't living life, baby?
I've been getting all this money. I've been spending all this cash. I got one question for you.
Hey baby, let me ask you something.
When are you gonna work that ass?
Work
that ass.
Work
that ass. When are you gonna work that ass?
Hey, go on, work it for a real nigga. If he ain't got the bank, why you dealing with him? Hindsight, that's 2020. You ain't gotta look no more. I'm the one you've been searching for. Straight dope, uncut. Shock him pure. Being broke is a disease. And baby, I got the cure. Live smart, die genius. Keys, they open doors. With an ass like that, the world is all yours. Hey, hey, go on working for a real nigga. Make that air work like a 9-to-5. Hey, hey, go on working for a real nigga.
I've been getting all this money.
I've been
spending all this cash. I got one question for you.
Hey baby, let me ask you something.
When are you gonna work that ass?
Work
that ass.
Work
that ass. When are you gonna work that ass? Work that ass. Work that ass. When are you gonna work that ass?
Go work it for a real nigga. Yeah, hey, go work it for a real nigga. Yeah, hey, go work it for a real nigga.
When are you gonna work that ass?
time for no fake friends. Stick with me, fuck a 360. I was taught to cut the middle men. Not a click out in DR. All the mommies yelling Theodore. More Dame than a Lee or. All she really wanted is D-Or. Gray sweats in my Theodores. The ghetto my Ida and me and more. I've been working, working, working. All she talk about is Birkin. Then the date she burping. All I'm thinking about is verses. I wrote this shit with a blindfold. All bullshit aside though. That's why they snuck out the side though. Look in my eyes with my eyes low. I can see you with my eyes closed. Needing no dough, I'm in grind mode. I'm trying to ball, no Lonzo. Don't make me get blood in my poncho. Black mask and the Mac in the middle in the duffel bag. Bitch, I'm John Doe. I'm trying to cop me a condo. Ice in the face where the time go. If he flying, I ain't lying. All this gelato falling out the fine tone. Far flower, give me mine. While a nigga still alive though. Fuck how you feel. Why? We keep it realer than real. Food on the table, grab you a seat. Go eat you a meal. Money on money on money, street shit, fuck a deal. Money on money on money, street shit, fuck a deal. Fuck how you feel. Why? We keep it realer than real. Food on the table, grab you a seat. Go eat you a meal. Money on money on money, street shit, fuck a deal. Money on money on money, street shit, fuck a deal.
Woke up early, I'm blessed, baby. Bell palsy, that's stress, baby. Bounce back, I'm a vet, baby. Kept it 100, nothing less, baby. 380, my favorite, baby. That Mac 10 with that X10. Hit your son, it'll leave your baby. RP, you should leave your baby. Tag the wrong one to beef with. Ever since they went vegan, baby. I'm just getting to the chicken. I'm just getting to the chicken. Milk the game, cheesing lately. Oh, your man fucked your best friend. Suck my dick and get even, baby. Use the mouth like you bleeding, baby. Team Petty, no secret lady. But if I bought it, you can keep it, baby. All day blowing la-la. My weed, the truth, best believe it, baby. Rapper slash actor, that's a side chick and a leading lady. Side chick want my dick, while my bitch want a new Mercedes. Yo, Rick's not my Rick. I'm a genius when I want a whip on my scissor shit. Yo, bitch is my bitch, that side bitch on my scissor shit. 1-2 when it don't stop till her skirt dropping my niggas head. 1-2 when it don't stop till my top dropping my niggas
red. Fuck how you feel. Why? We keep it realer than real. Food on the table, grab you a seat. Go eat you a meal. Money on money on money, street shit, fuck a deal. Money on money, street shit, fuck a deal. Fuck how you feel. Why? We keep it realer than real. Food on the table, grab you a seat. Go eat you a meal. Money on money, street shit, fuck a deal. Money on money, street shit, fuck a deal.
Now, testing. I'm having some technical difficulties. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you got it.
You can hear me, Dre?
Yeah, you got it, bro.
Okay, I'm back. I don't know what happened. I'm sorry, I'm going to mute you, Dre, but if you can't hear me, let me know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I had some technical difficulty. I don't know what's going on. If everybody can hear me good, text me. Let me know if you can hear me. I don't know. I'm trying to fix the sound in the background to see what happened. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Testing. Oh, you can hear me now? I don't know what happened. It was some kind of technical difficulty. Okay, everybody say I'm good now. I don't know. I had some crazy feedback. I don't know what that was. Anyway, if something go wrong, let me know. Please let me know. That's like about the first time that ever happened. I guess that's the powers that be. Know this show getting ready to be explosive. Anyway. Once again, welcome to the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean Online Radio Podcast. I want to thank all my listeners out there, everybody on the link, my supporters. I had a little malfunction, technical difficulty. I don't know what happened. I'm still trying to figure out, but if it happened again, somebody just shoot me a text or something like that. Threw me all off. Now I got to amp myself back up again. Hold on, let me take a sip. Oh, man. All right, anyway, let's get back to the show. Minor setback. I was watching Hulu today. I don't know how many people got Hulu, but it's a show on Hulu called The United States versus Billie Holiday. I would advise everybody, you have to see that show. The show is about, if you don't know, Billie Holiday was a jazz singer in the 40s. Everybody should know Billie Holiday or heard of her or something like that. She was a heroin addict, but that's not even the point here. The point is here that she was the first black woman to perform a sold-out crowd at Carnegie Hall. But anyway, Billie Holiday had a song that she would sing called Strange Fruits. Now, the FBI, they didn't want her singing this song because the song talked about the lynching that was going on and that tying up the black people to trees and stuff like that. It was talking about all the injustice and the segregation and everything that was going on in the South that they was doing to the black people at that time. This was like the 40s. So what the FBI did, the FBI planted drugs on her. They not only planted drugs on her, they had her wrongly accused of things. They had her imprisoned several times, and that led to her more to her addiction, and it kind of really almost killed her career, believe it or not. But anybody, you got to see that movie on Hulu, The United States versus Billie Holiday. Now, why I brought that up is because a lot of people, they don't understand it, the privilege that they have today. If it wasn't for Billie Holiday, I wouldn't be able to come on this podcast and keep it real. If it wasn't for people like Billie Holiday, it wouldn't be freedom of speech. If it wasn't for people like Billie Holiday, it would have never been things like the First Amendment right. So people like that who went through injustice and beatings and hangings and all that stuff, they did that so we could do what we're doing now. It wouldn't be podcasts. You wouldn't be able to get on. I wouldn't be able to get on here and say fuck. I wouldn't be able to come out here and say bitch. I wouldn't be able to come out here and talk about sex or anything like that if it wasn't for people like Billie Holiday, Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King, Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass. And I just thought that was a valid point. I watched that show earlier, and it really touched me. And I just said, I got to talk about that tonight on my podcast. Because of that, I'm able to, like I said, I'm able to get up here and say what the fuck I want to say and keep it real, what I'm going to do. And we have to remember that. We got to uplift each other. We got to stop downing each other. Earlier last week, or 2 weeks ago, I had a book signing, and a lot of people came out and supported me, and that was my first book signing in 8 years. But a lot of people came out and supported me, and I guess somebody felt some type of way because of all the pictures I put up with me and different females and males and all the love I got, and they wanted to decide to try to kill my character or whatever by posting something on Facebook about glorifying pimping and glorifying street life. And it wasn't even really about that, you know, like I told him. If he would have came to the book signing, he would have seen right next to the Patterson Pimp book, I got the Andre Williams story about somebody born with muscular dystrophy. And right next to that book, I got another book called Smart Like Me, a children book. It's a stop bullying story about kids. Not only that, but if he would have came to the book signing, but if he would have just took the time out to support me, to buy the book, to read my book, The Patterson Pimp, he would have knew that I never glorified pimping in that book. I only talked about the mistakes and the bad choices that I made. So why I'm saying that is because we have to stop hating on each other. we have to stop with the jealousy and the hostility and we got to stop having larceny in our hearts, and we got to start supporting more. You know what I mean? And mothers, we got to stop telling our children that they fathers or their baby daddies is no good. You got to stop doing that. Kids will know once they get older. They'll know if their father ain't shit or not. They'll know, but we can't teach that. You can't teach your kids that their father is no good. And fathers, you can't teach your kids that the mothers is no good. Trust me, it won't take a kid too long to know if their mother or father is good. It won't take long. And I thought about all that today when I was watching that, when I saw that show about Billie Holiday about. It was one song, Strange Fruit was the name of it. Just one song. And they incarcerated her, beat her, planted drugs on her because they didn't want to wait. They didn't want her singing that song and waking people up. They didn't want to even though we knew what was going on in the 40s, they didn't want a black person singing that. They didn't want a black person saying that. And it kind of touched me because I know I get on my show and I say whatever I want to say. And then I thought it's because of Billie Holiday that I could get on my show and say whatever I want to say. It's because of people like Public Enemy, Two Live Crew, N.W.A., and that's more current, but we could go further back, like Martin Luther King and Megger Evers and people like that. Jesse Jackson, Malcolm X, the list goes on and on. Frederick Douglass and everybody else. So we have to keep that in mind. We have to take heed to that. And we have to remember that the devil is real. The devil is real. This is a big show for me tonight. I wasn't feeling good. I started not feeling good yesterday. I don't know if I suffer from diabetes. I didn't know if my sugar was up. So I was trying to take the medicine. I didn't know if it was down. So I was eating wheat bread and chocolate because that's the way they keep us now with the medicine. If you borderline diabetes, they put you on the medicine. You borderline high blood pressure, they put you on the medicine. And I honestly don't know if it's good or not. I really don't know. But anyway, to show you how good overconquers bad, evil, like an hour before the show, or 2 hours before the show, I took a nap. And I woke up and I started feeling good. Now, I probably shouldn't be drinking right now, but whatever. You know what I mean? It is what it is. You only live once. And if you do it right, that's all you need. Tonight we got a show like no other show. I'm a guest on my own show. And this is the first time I'm doing that. And I'm being interviewed by a very lovely, intelligent woman. And it was only when I first thought about finding somebody to interview me, I thought about her. And I didn't think of nobody else. I thought about her. I was like, nobody else could do this interview but Jennifer Ellison. And I reached out to her, and she was more than happy to do it because you got to deal with diversity because my life is like that. My life is colorful. You're talking about a man that went from a Jehovah's Witness to a petty hustler to a drug dealer to a drug user to a baby father, to a husband, to a soldier, to a pimp, to an author, to a movie writer, and to a podcaster. And you ain't going to get too many people who got a resume like that. And it's not by mistake, and I'm not on this podcast by mistake. It's a reason why I'm here. And it's a reason why everybody is where they at. I could be in jail. I could be in a insane asylum. I could be dying of a disease, but I'm not. I'm here, and I'm here for a reason. And I'm not saying nothing bad about jail or nobody in jail. I'm not afraid of jail or anything like that. I just don't got the time for it. I don't got the time for jail. And I'm a hustler. Yes, I am. It's in my DNA. And I'm probably really 100 years old, but nobody don't really know it. I probably been here before. That's how I feel sometimes. Like, I'm before my time. I'm ahead of myself. I'm 5 or 10 steps before everybody else. And even when the show started, I had the technical difficulty. That was the devil. See, but I had a praying mother. So the devil can't interfere with what I'm trying to do at all. And I believe that I could do anything. Like my father, you couldn't say I can't. He didn't like that word, I can't. So I believe that I could do anything that I want to do. I believe that I could do it if I put my mind to it. And that's what I'm doing. I wrote books. I wrote movies. I'm doing a podcast. I got supporters. And I support everybody. Pressure makes diamonds. And different means greatness. And I'm a different person. Whenever you find somebody who's different, you'll find somebody who's great. When you find everybody that's doing the same thing, everybody doing the same thing, same thing, same thing. Nah, that's cloning. And that's not me. Okay, it's 8:24. I'm sweating like a dog. I was, and I got all confused in the beginning of the show when I couldn't get the sound right. But I guess it's right, and I hope it don't go back out again. But if it do, like I said, somebody let me know. We'll be starting the interview in about 5 or 10 minutes. I'll go behind the scenes. I'll speak to Jennifer. She should be calling in a minute. And we'll get this thing started with everybody waiting for, you know what I mean? So it's going to be, the interview is going to be from 8:30 to 9:30, and then at 9:30 to 10, we're going to have the Q&As. And let me repeat, if you're on the line and you want to say something, you got to press 1. You have to press 1 to let me know you're here. This interview is about, it's about me. It's my life story. If it helps somebody along the way, that's cool. If it hurts somebody, I mean, it's not my intentions. This is a podcast. This is show business. I'm here to put on a show, but I'm also here to keep it real. I'm not lying to anybody. I'm not making nothing up. I just don't live like that. So with that being said, once again, I apologize for the malfunction in the beginning. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was I don't know what happened with this. It was crazy. Maybe it was the Bluetooth or something went wrong, but I'm trying to get that situated. We're going to go to a song right now, and I'm going to be right back. Please don't go nowhere. Get your popcorn. Pour yourself a drink. We're going to get this engine started in a couple of minutes. So I'll be right back with the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean.
Shout out, Young Swiss.
Really? love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. Whoa, I think I'm in love again. And here we go again. Don't wanna have another heartbreak, but every time that I see him, we thought she'd take my breath away. Get a grip, and thought I would a friendship. Cause sailing with a Moby Dick, could sink a ship. Thinking with your head, but you get a shot of one. I remember all the past lessons that you learned from. A 90-day rule, but we rush it too. In 2 months, we send a text, I love you. In 5 months, became the best of friends. In 7 months, we put our first picture on the gram. On the foundation that we lay and stay stable when nature throws us a curve of love wins again. Thank you for showing me that I can love again. I'm your homie, you're in love, a homie, love a friend, yeah.
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
Been 2 years and we still running. To get them butterflies when I see you coming. It's funny how life all works. You gotta open up your heart to operate to see how life works. When there's rain showers, the sun shines again. Gotta weather every storm just to sail again. I know the time is now, I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the mornings, you will wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.
Yeah, welcome back to the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean Online Radio Podcast. We're going to bring a caller in before we start this interview off. 4785, you there?
Yes.
How you doing this evening?
Good evening, everyone. I've been on your show quite a couple of times since you had the podcast. I know some people might know my voice, but I'm your sister, Lisa. And I just want to make a comment before your show start and just say how proud I am of you and how you're advancing in your career. And I'm very happy that you decided to come up with this new project of being interviewed. Most people won't put themselves on a block like that, but it's good that, you know, you're out there and you're open enough that you're secure that you feel that you can be asked any questions, and you, like you said, you're real. You'll be able to give somebody the real, true answer about their life. And
right.
I look forward to listening to you tonight. I know you say I don't really back you up that much, but you know we both got different little views in life. But you know I always got your back, always had your back since day one when I met you when we was kids. But I'm going to enjoy your show, and I hope you feel good during the whole show. And, you know, I just hope everything turn out good and you get good reviews. So best wishes to you tonight.
Okay, you're supposed to say I love you.
Oh, you know, like you said, you don't believe in real love. We can't say I love you because it won't be real if I just said it out there like that. I'm saving it, though, for you. I'm saving it for a special occasion.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for calling in. Yeah, we're getting ready to start the show. But thanks a lot for calling in. I'll try not to say nothing bad about you as long as the question don't come that way.
It's all right. All right. I'm good. I'm real, too.
Oh no, I know you. I know you got. We all got tough skin in our family. We got tough skin, so it'll be all right. You know.
Yeah.
All right. So thanks for calling.
Tell Jennifer
all right?
to give it all to you.
she can hear you. All right. I'm gonna tell her that too. All right.
All right.
Thanks for calling. All right.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, that was my sister, everybody, my big little sister. So we gonna stop beating around the bush. I'm gonna bring Jennifer Ellison on. I know she's excited because I'm excited, and she probably don't know what to expect, and I don't know what to expect. But you know what they say about great minds? When great minds get together, great things happen. Great things happen. So I'm gonna let her tell you a little bit about herself and stuff like that, and we're gonna take it from there and bring her in. Without no further ado, I'd like to welcome to the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean Online podcast, Jennifer Ellison.
Thank you so much. Peace and blessings, everyone. Yes, sir. Peace and blessings. Peace and blessings, everyone. Peace to you, Jay Sean. You know, happy Friday. How you doing tonight? How you feeling?
I'm feeling better. You know what I mean? Like, I think I had a little about with something. I don't know if my blood pressure was up or my sugar was low or my sugar was up and my pressure was down. But, you know, that's the devil.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, you know me, I don't stop until I win. So we here.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm ready.
Of course.
I'm ready. You know what I mean? But anyway,
yeah, I got a response
to
your technical difficulties. No, yeah, I'm good. I was listening, you know. I was on the sidelines, and I'm definitely not surprised. In fact, I was smiling, you know, with the technical difficulties. That's Mercury acting up. We still in the Mercury retrograde, you know, which started on September 27th and lasts until October 18th. So, you know, basically, long story short, we got 3 weeks where you might have a little snafus with technology, email you wanted to send didn't get sent, or your phone is acting up, or we saw like the massive Facebook, Instagram shutdown happen not too long ago. And so
that's all
part of the universe in play. You know, we'll have another show one day where we'll kick the astrology and figure out what's up with these Scorpios and Leos and why they hold. But we'll get to that another day.
I'm a Virgo.
But just know, in fact,
Virgo.
That the universe is always working. Yeah, you're definitely a Virgo. That's why you're always thinking and analyzing. And
that's
one thing I appreciate about you.
Well, we'll
come back for another. We'll come back
astrology.
Another day for the astrology. Yeah.
Thank
you know,
you
Mother Tynetta.
Who?
I mean, fun fact, Mother Tynetta, Elijah Muhammad's first wife, she was a journalist, and actually she was an astrologer. And so she wrote a column on, you know, the mathematics of the sun, moon, and stars. And so just a little plug.
That's me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm down with the sun, moon, and stars and all that stuff
that. I'm here for all of that. So we'll get into that another time. But I definitely wanted to just start off by saying thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to work with you once again. You know, we've known each other for years now, and shout out to Miss Lisa. I was listening, so you know I'm here, Miss Lisa. And, you know, we've known each other for a long time. It was definitely a dope experience working with you alongside for the product, for the production of The Bottom. And I'm excited. I'm grateful that you called me. You know I'm here. And like I said, I think we have a vibe. I'm here for the vibe. What do you think?
People texting me like she ready. people in my chat box like she ready. She woke. She ready. Let me take a drink because you dropping bombs already. We ain't even started.
Oh yeah, we can go ahead and do that. Yeah, everybody go ahead and have a drink. I don't even know if we're gonna cover everything tonight, but we'll see where it goes.
Nah, we just gonna do this, gonna be part one. I can't tell my life story in 1 hour.
Right.
You know that. It's bigger than that. But anyway, tell everybody a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind. Where you grew up at or stuff, whatever you want somebody to know about you. You know, I don't want people to think this is set up, or we talked behind the scenes and I told you to say this and you told me to say that.
Right.
And, you know what I'm saying? All this is live. You know
right.
what I mean? And everything now that's going on is live. It's not pre-rehearsed.
Absolutely.
And you probably know that by the end of the interview that it's not. You know what I mean? But anyway, tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Well, I mean, I'm originally from Patterson. Not born, but I was raised, and as you know, I know the family very well for many years. You know, since then, I've traveled, I've been around, I've lived in L.A., I've come back, I'm living in the city now. You know, I'm in the Bronx, South Bronx, for 15 years, and I'm a teacher, I teach math and science, and been teaching for 24 years with the kids, but, you know, aside from that, I'm Jennifer. I have the street smarts, I got the book smarts, and so that's part of what I love, as you mentioned, you know, the versatility.
Right.
I think having that street smarts, I tell my students all the time, you got to have both. You got to have the street smarts and you got to have the book smarts in order to be, you know, successful in this world, you know. If you have
just,
one and not the
just,
other, you're going to miss out.
You just Jenny from the block, right?
That's it. Those who know me as that, and
yeah.
you know, the flexibility. I love your energy. I see your vision, and that's how I'm able to, you know, jump on. You know, how does a teacher, you know, co-sign the story of a pimp? Well, because it's not just, as you mentioned in your podcast last week, you're not just your past, you know?
Right.
I believe, personally, life is just a series of decisions, right? We're making decisions, and your decisions lead to consequences, which lead to more decisions. So we're just like a sum total of all of those experiences, which bring
right,
us to where we
right,
are today.
Right.
So,
and it's crazy because I had a lot of stuff set up that I was going to do in the beginning of the show, and it all messed up with the technical difficulty. So I'm a firm believer that everything happened for a reason. I'm serious. I had some music that was supposed to play, and I was supposed to be saying, like chanting some stuff, and I had rehearsed it and everything, and then everything just went bonkers. So it wasn't meant to
they
be.
They say when you have plans,
later,
God laughs. Yeah,
I'll try later at 9:30. But, okay, we're going to start this interview. But before we start the interview, I want to ask you two questions, just to let everybody know that you don't have a side in this. You just here to interview me and stay neutral and biased on the issue. And I want you to answer the questions truthfully. You know what I mean? It's no, you know, it's nothing right and it's nothing wrong. So, in your own words, honestly speaking, what do you think of a pimp? Is he a low down dirty dog? Is he a low-down, dirty dog? Or,
I had to sit with that, because I was building up to the interview. I'm like, okay, so a pimp. So I had to ask myself, well, what is a pimp, right? What
exactly.
is the definition of a pimp?
Exactly.
Who is a pimp? And
exactly.
Is a pimp a noun? Is a pimp a verb? You know, is it something or is it an action, right? Is it just male-dominated? Are there female pimps?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Yes.
I mean, they say that, you know, the sex industry is the oldest industry on Earth, right? So fast forward to today, how do we take an industry and essentially give ourselves control of it, right?
Okay,
there's
well,
levels
we
to it.
We can pass on that one. We're going to come back to that one, then I'll ask you the other question, and we'll come back to that one later.
Right.
What do you think of a prostitute, of a stripper? What do you think of them off the top of your mind? Like, what's the like your manifestation of that, of a stripper, a hoe, a prostitute?
So, like, you just named three different things. You said a stripper,
I mean, well,
you said
know
a
what
hoe,
I mean. Anybody
said a prostitute.
Selling their body for money. Anybody selling their body for sexual favors
but
for money.
But who's not doing that today? in the day and in the age of social media, who's not selling their body in a sense of like, who's not using their body for attention, right? Who's not worried about that picture that you take, that selfie that you take, that angle when you poke it out? Are you not selling your body? Are you not using your body for attention?
Wait a minute.
I don't know.
I gotta. You gotta get some hand claps on that. That was beautifully answered. For real.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody else would have answered it as honestly as you did. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But that was the correct answer. That's the answer I was looking for. I didn't really expect you to say, oh, she's dirty and nasty and all that. That was the correct answer. Anyway, let's start this damn
thing. Well, we're going to get into all that. We definitely have a lot of ground to cover.
Right.
You know, as I said before, everybody has a story. You certainly have a story that I believe needs to be shared, which is why I was excited for this project. So, you know, we're going to, as you said, have a conversation. We might get a little gritty, a little grimy, a little gully. But, you know, we're going to keep it philosophical.
Keep it real.
Right. We're going to keep it real. So, you know, for the callers who are just tuning in, you know, write down your thoughts because what you think it might be may not be where we end up. So let's just go for the ride.
And my word is not the answer to, you know, the whole world. It's just my definition of what we're talking about now. And I got a lot of, like, over 20 years experience in certain things that we're going to talk about. And if you try to go to a mechanic and he's been working on cars 20 years and you try to tell him he don't know nothing about working on cars, then you're foolish. So anyway, let's go.
Right. So let's start at the beginning, okay, and then we'll bounce around from there. So, you know, take us back. Take us back to 1963, you know, the mid to late 60s. A lot was going on. If anybody was watching Godfather of Harlem, right, we saw the 60s and what was happening. So tell us a little bit about your childhood.
My childhood was more like when as far as back as I can remember. I had a pretty good childhood. I'd say like 5, 6, and 7 years old around that. I had a pretty good childhood until I started to fully understand different things, what I mean, like religion. I didn't really know anything about racism or anything at that time, but I could honestly say the first thing in my life that I could remember disliking or building up a hatred for was the Jehovah's Witness religion.
Mm.
That's the first thing in my life. But other than that, I was just a typical kid. You know, I mean, we had friends on the block. You know, we played every day outside. It wasn't no video games, you know, so we went outside. We played games that everybody played, hide and seek, hot peas and butter, red light, green light. The next door neighbor mother could chastise you. They could even beat you sometimes, you know, and it was okay. And every day was just a fun day. You know, when I was growing up, you know, I had two good parents, and I was the youngest of the family, and I didn't really begin to understand what being the youngest meant probably until I got about maybe 10, 11, 12 years old, because you really don't know. You know, you just know you got big brothers and sisters. You really don't understand that you're getting treated the best because, you know, like just everybody treating you good. But it don't really dawn
on you. Well, just to put it in context,
like,
and, you know, forgive me for jumping in, but, like, you know, I like to
put
things into historical context, right? Because you're born in 1963, which means you were 2 years old when Malcolm was assassinated, right? You were 5 years old when MLK was assassinated. So I'm thinking about your parents at this time. As you mentioned, you're the baby. You have two solid parents, working class.
Yes.
You know, you talked a lot about that experience in your book, The Patterson Pimp. You know, your mother with the religion, with the Jehovah's Witness religion. You talk about your father, you know, being the workaholic.
Right.
And so
right.
you, by all definition, came up in, as you said, a good situation, solid. Both
yeah.
parents are together, working.
Right.
And
yes,
they while you're a kid and you don't know what's going on, they, as the adults, are still managing all of the unrest, right, through the 60s and then later into the 70s.
Right,
going into the 70s now, so then what happened? Like, so we know, we definitely see that from the 60s to the 70s, there was a shift in culture. So now you're 10, you're 11, 12, you know, you're becoming a little more aware. Who were your idols at the time?
My first, well, I started playing organized baseball around 9 years old. So
okay.
I hear a lot of people often say, like, their mother was their idol or their father was their idol, but it really wasn't like that for me. My idol at that time was Willie Mays, you know, a baseball player.
Okay.
Everybody know Willie Mays. He was more like my idol. He was more like my first idol was Willie Mays. That was the first
mm-hmm.
person that I really, you know, looked up to. And, you know, when you say I want to be like Willie Mays when I grow up. So up until the time when I met my brother, Willie Mays was my idol.
Okay. And you say when you met your brother? When did you meet
yeah,
your brother?
I,
what
when
do you
I
mean
met
by
him
that?
I mean because he didn't my brother he didn't grow up with
okay.
the rest of my family. So
okay.
one of my brothers grew up down south. So when he
okay.
came up to Patterson, I think like I probably
mm-hmm.
seen him before that traveling down south, but I can't really
mm-hmm.
remember. But I actually really remember him about 11 or 12 years old when he moved up to Patterson. And
okay.
he kind of, you know, he kind of became like a big brother. You
right.
know, how big brothers do, you know. But
mm-hmm.
I guess his teachings was a little bit different. Well, they wasn't a little bit different. His teachings was a lot different. So.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people a lot of times, like, now that I'm older, it's a long story, but he had a lot of inside grief and stuff about growing up down south toward my parents.
Right.
So I believe in my mind that because when he came up here, maybe that he seen me as the prized possession of my mother's, you know what I mean? That he took it upon himself to say, I'm gonna poison him. You know, I'm gonna take what she I don't like to say this, but I'm gonna take what she loved the most and I'ma poison his brain. That's what my idea is. I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have no other answer for a grown adult. Teaching a 13-year-old that, you know, like that all women is bitches and, you know, you don't need, you know, like you don't really need women for, you know, nothing but, you know, like, you know, to take advantage of them and, you know, and you don't trust them and, you know, and just stuff like that's drilling
right.
stuff like that into my brain, like at 13 years old. So, I mean, I guess it was my choice, but I don't really know and understand why today, because I could have easily said, hell no, or that's not
mm-hmm.
intriguing to me, you know what I mean? But like I said earlier, it's certain stuff that's in your DNA.
Well,
so,
we're definitely going to get into that because you definitely, you do also talk about, you know, what develops into as you said, your hatred of women and
right.
what then like switches up that mentality to where you're now viewing women or, you know, when we're now objectifying women. And we're going to get there, you know. I read all of your books, by the way, and congratulations
right.
to you on your book signing. Let me just go ahead and say
thank you.
And,
that,
you know, with six books out.
I got to say one thing, though. That word. I did use that word in 2008 of hatred for women, but
you did.
I don't really know if that's the right word. You know what I mean? But I did say it, and so I guess I did feel like that at one time in my life. But when when I hear it now, it sounds so,
how does it strike you now?
Like not me.
Right.
It just sounds like not me like now. Like, but I guess at one time I did feel like that. So,
at one time you did.
Yeah, I did.
At one time you
did,
and hence the story. You know, back to your podcast last week, you talked about, you know, whether or not we're defined by our past, right? And you talked about, like, names and monikers. And somebody calls you, hey, what's up, Patterson Pimp? Like, are you still that Patterson Pimp? You know, as females, we say, hey, what's up, bitch? What's up, ho? Like, is that who we are? If you had a promiscuous past, you know, and like you said, if you meet somebody and decide you're ready to spend your life with this person and change your ways, you know, can somebody do that? Can somebody change their ways, or are they forever defined by their past?
I can speak for myself. It was a time in my life when I thought like maybe I could never be true to a woman in my life.
Mm.
But then I was. And it wasn't really hard as what I thought it was going to be to do it.
Okay.
Now, when...
And you're right, because you were married twice.
Right. And when you talk about taking the boy out the projects, but can you take the projects out the boy, or am I still a pimp at heart?
Mm-hmm.
I think somewhere deep down inside, I still maybe
you still
got, I think maybe deep down inside I still got pimp tendencies.
Oh,
but
okay.
But I think it's at a low percentage in my life. Like, I would say it was maybe, like, at 20%. But that don't stop you from having the vision of it. You know what I mean? That don't stop you from having the...
I mean, there's a lot to it. It's very complicated. It's not a very simple thing. So when you ask me how I feel about pimps, it's not like a blanket, you know, it's not, I don't know. It's not, it's just so many levels to it, so many levels of understanding, which compels me to want to know more. You know, you wrote in your book, My Soul is Still Pimping, which is part two of the Patterson Pimp. You talk a lot about the knowledge that you gained from the experience and not in a glorifying kind of a way. You talk about the trials, you talk about the tribulations, you talk about the mistakes, you know. Because, again, these are the stories that need to be told. The stories are being told now. We're watching, what, Power? We're watching BMF? We're watching stories of hustlers and pimps and hoes, right? So who better to tell your story than you yourself?
Right.
Right?
Right.
So let me switch it up, because I want to lay down the context, and then I want to kind of bring it forward a little bit. So you mentioned marriage, right? You mentioned, you acknowledged the whole ways, and we're going to get back to that, but you did, in fact, twice, right, take a vow. So you want to talk a little bit about that? What can you tell us about your two marriages?
Let me see. I was fortunate. I would say that. I was fortunate that I was married to two women that was – I consider them good women. I'll say they was good women. But on the flip side to that, I could honestly say that it never was my idea. So
it was never your idea for what?
To get married.
To get married? Okay.
Yeah, it never was my idea. So I could honestly say that I've been married twice, but I did it for the other person.
Okay.
I didn't really do it for myself. You know what I mean? I did it to make somebody else happy.
Mm.
And a lot of people get caught up into doing stuff to make other people happy. And that's like something I would never, you know, I would never do that again. And that's not saying nothing bad or taking away from nobody. I'm just telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I've been married twice, and neither one of the time, it wasn't my idea to do it. You know, the first time I did it, I was young. They called them shotgun weddings. And the mm-hmm. second time I did it is because, you know, it was brought to me, you know, several occasions, and I thought, I guess somehow maybe I was ready. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And I think I got
and
more
how many,
ready.
You have children? How many
ready.
Children do you have?
Oh, 8 children.
Okay. Okay, so in thinking
grown.
About these decisions, right, they all grown now, but you know, you're still dad, you're still pops, and making these
right.
decisions to settle down, you know, were your children a factor in you deciding to, like, show the example?
What you mean, to stop it, or?
No. Did it influence you? Did the fact that you are a father, you know, did that help you to show your children, hey, you know, here's what you can do. Here's where life can take you. Like, you don't
No, I just...
Do you think it was going to, like, positively influence them?
No. I just always told most of my kids that I never was a firm believer in just punching a clock and working somewhere 20 and 30 years and then getting a gold watch. I never was the kind of person that wanted to make Mr. Walgreens rich and Mr. Walmart rich and Mr. Bamburgers and Mr. Burger King rich. I always wanted to kind of adopt a formula for myself. So when
so
I
that's
talk
what marriage
to my
is,
kids,
punching a clock and getting a watch?
No, hell no. I thought you said no.
I'm trying to make the connection. Like, hold up. I got to be married for 30
years
and get a
no,
watch.
No. I went to something else. Marriage is not. Well, I went to another point about.
Right.
I thought you meant, like, what did I kind of instill in my children, even though I was pimping?
Well, yeah,
really,
I do want
to
segue
you,
to that,
really,
but I guess before we move on, what did you gain from the marriages? Like, let's just wrap that up before we move on. What did you gain from your marriages?
Shit. I guess you can gain experience,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I guess you could learn about loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
And you could also learn about being deceived. You know what I mean? And cultivated and tricked and stuff. You know what I mean? And you could also
that
learn
sounds
about
like the
all
game.
That stuff. Yeah, well, hey, could be. It depends on who pimping who.
Wow.
You know what I mean? It depends on
okay,
who pimping
who. Okay, so then here's
who,
a question for you, and then we're going to segue
What's
and
that?
Jump in.
Mm-hmm.
Can you turn a hoe into a housewife? I've heard that question asked many times before. First of all, what does that
so.
Question even mean? And then second of all, is it possible?
I don't believe you could, because when somebody is a hoe,
mm-hmm.
you know, it could go a lot of ways. Maybe they just was, you know, sleeping around for money or sleeping around for pleasure. And then you meet a guy
mm-hmm.
who don't know you, or either sometimes they know you and don't care, and then you try to change, and now you want to be a wife. But
right.
this is me. I always believe that the whole tendencies is still there.
Mm.
Why I say that is because it's women that get bored with the same dick, like men get bored with the same pussy. Excuse my language.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And you got to be strong to
be monogamous.
You got to be strong to have a certain urge when you know when your needs is not being fulfilled, and you know how it is.
But what if you have an open relationship?
Get it fulfilled? Excuse me?
Look at Will and Jada. They just recently, you know, shared that they have an open relationship, and they're soulmates, like they're life partners. Like, is it possible to be married and still be in an open relationship? Are we built for monogamy? What if we're not built?
I wouldn't like that.
You wouldn't like what?
An open relationship at my age.
Why not?
I mean, I just wouldn't like that. But I wouldn't mind a hall pass once a month.
But that means it's open. That's an open door, a hall pass. We're not talking about rocking out every night. Y'all not swinging, you know, swinging from the chandeliers every week. But that hall pass, so what's up with that?
Let me tell you a story.
Tell me a story.
Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You got men out here that's married, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or women. And this might sound stupid to some people, but I know for a fact because I lived it. You got men out here that might be married.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they working and they got children at their house, and they might walk around their house angry for 2 or 3 days, right? But they got
mm-hmm.
a mistress on the side. So when they go out on whatever day they meet up with their mistress and they go out and they cheat and stuff like that, when they come back home, they more happier.
Right.
So then you gotta say, does cheating make your relationship better? Does a side piece make your relationship better?
Well, I mean, this is the question of open relationships, right? Like, there's a difference between the intimacy, like that pillow talk and, you know, we share a bank account and we doing all of that versus a jump off. Is there a difference?
Well, damn it, I'm all for it then. Fuck it.
Is this why you don't believe in love?
I don't believe in love because everybody ever looked me in my eyes and told me they love me, hurt me. That's why I don't believe in love.
Also, because love is always supposed to feel good and it's always supposed to be peaches and cream. Or is love?
I mean, what's the use of loving? What's the use of loving then if you're gonna get your heart broken and then go back to loving and then getting your heart broke again? I don't see.
You say you have 8 children.
Yes.
You say you have 8 children, right? Now,
yes.
We all know as parents that, you know, as parents and we're raising our kids, sometimes they disappoint us, right? They do things that we wish they didn't do, or they make mistakes, or they bounce around. Matter of fact, not only children, any relationship, brothers, sisters, parents, there are times when we disappoint one another. Right? Or is it always sunny and we always feeling good? We always say the right things. We never offend. We never overstep.
Everything's rosy. You misunderstanding me. I'm talking about somebody looking you in your face and telling you they love you, and then you catch them fucking somebody behind your back. That's what I'm talking about.
So this brings me back to if we had an open relationship.
That's the only way somebody could hurt me. You can't hurt me no other way. Too many times.
You got me wanting to jump around, so I'm jumping and I'm gonna jump back because you talk about hurt. I'm thinking about you and your ladies and the pimpology and all of that. Like, did you ever fall in love with one of your ladies?
Too many times.
Oh.
Too many. Too many times. But then again, if you got a puppy or if you got a cat and they with you 3, 4, 5 years, you're going to start getting feelings for them too.
A puppy.
So I don't believe in all that fairy tale stuff about. So I don't believe in all that TV stuff like you can't fall in love with a hoe and you're not supposed to have sex with a hoe. Like, that's TV. In real life, you're laying down next to a woman, you're going to have sex with her. In real life, you got a woman going out there doing all kind of crazy things for you, sleeping with men, giving oral sex to men, spending time with men. You're going to get feelings for them. Trust me.
Okay, so, with that said, because if you are behind the steering wheel as the pimp, right, so I'm jumping again. So then walk me through this, right? I guess it's a two-part question. The first part is like, when did you first know you wanted to be a pimp, right? Take me there. And then the second part is, I need to wrap my head around this conversation. How did you get your first lady to work for you? Like, I need to be a fly on the wall. What is that conversation? You with somebody you convince them into working.
That goes back to when I was telling you about my brother.
Right.
And, you know, and he started teaching me all kind of, like my brother used to ride me around. My brother used to ride me around in his car with him when I was like 12 and 13. And he used to show me his lady working for him, you know, on the block. Mm-hmm. I didn't really understand what it was, but he would tell me that he would show me that's his lady. And he would say, she working for me. And I didn't really understand, you know, and I would go home and tell my mother that I seen his girlfriend on the corner. She would just tell me to, like, you know, to stay away from her or whatever. But it was already intrigued in my mind. So he would tell me that, you know, that's his lady and she working for him. So once he started teaching me so much about the pimp game, and then once I found out that, you know, females was kind of attracted to me, it wasn't hard to connect the dots. You know what I mean? I mean, being like 12 and 13 and having a girl give you $10 or bring you candy or something like that, it's a long jump from actually pimping. You know, you take baby steps. You take baby steps. So by the time 13 years old, 14 years old, by the time 15 years old, it was like nothing else I wanted to do. That was like,
okay,
that's
so
all I wanted
so
to do.
We went from Skittles to selling eyes? Where does the business end come in?
What business end? No, that's what I'm telling you.
In terms of pimping.
No, you said that how did I know when I could? So I'm telling you, I started.
Right.
When I started knowing that females, you know, they thought I was cute and they was attracted to me and they would, you know, give me little things. And, you know, I was young then, but I found out that they would do little things. But, I mean, as you got older, the little things started to be into more big things. So if somebody would give me $10, put it like this. I knew a girl that was used to be babysitting, and I probably was like 15, and she used to babysit for somebody. And then I asked her one day about, you know, about her babysitting money, and she gave it to me. So that was like $10.
She just gave it to you?
So now you know. Yeah. I mean, I guess she loved me. But you know what I mean? So I guess that went from, you know, $10. So now you want to try to get something bigger from somebody else. You know what I mean? So it's like a ladder, you know, and it go on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I got maybe like 16 or 17 or something like that, I was already like well-tuned. Like I was ready already. Like, and by the time I got 18, I was different from my other friends. When they looked at a girl, they seen a fat ass, they wanted to fuck. When I looked at a girl and saw a fat ass, I wanted to get money for it. You know what I mean? So if I seen somebody with a fat ass, I didn't look at it like, that's some pussy for me. I looked at it like, that's some money for me. So my whole conversation was, I see girls to this day, and they say, I remember you tried to get me to sell my body for you. And I don't even remember that, but I guess I was doing that, like, at that age, like 17 and 18 and stuff like that. And and it just started from
there.
Well,
what does that look like? What was that conversation like? How did you get your lady to say, bet, like, this is what we're going to do? How were you able to make that happen?
You know, a lot of people think it's like, maybe like a lot of people ask that question, like, yo, how do you get a female to sell her body? What do you do to get a female to sell her body? How can you get a female? Like, that's the main number one question. But you know what the answer is? It's simple. You know what the answer is?
What's the answer?
You just ask them. That's it. It's no magic trick. It's no tricks and manipulating. You just ask them. And that's what it was.
Hmm.
I just asked them. Let me tell you real quick. Because we all over the place, but it's cool.
Yeah.
The first lady I ever had to work for me, this is real. I met her. She was walking down the street. I stopped. She got in the car with me. We was talking. We was young, teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I took her out. I took her for rides in my car a couple of times. She wasn't homeless, but she was living with an adopted family. So that was already a bonus. She didn't have any parents. That was another bonus. Yeah. And she didn't have anybody really loving her. That was another bonus.
Mm.
So mm-hmm. it was like almost perfect for me. Because what a pimp do, when he meets a female, he find out if you didn't have a father, okay, he going to play your father for you. If you somebody who always wanted love, he going to play the love role on you. You know what I mean? If it's somebody, if you want to be a star, he going to run that game on you, that he going to make you a star. But anyway, so I took her out a couple of times. You know, we would go park in the park and we would talk. And I would say stuff like, what you think about prostitutes? You know what I mean? Like, I would drive around, and let her see prostitutes. There was a lot of prostitutes mm-hmm. at that time in Patterson. And I would say, what you think about them? But before she could answer me, I would answer the question for her. I would say, man, I got a lot of respect for them. They using what they got to get what they want. They not out here begging people for nothing or slaving in a factory for nothing, you know. So I would mm-hmm. let that sit in for a little while. So then I would wait, and then we would talk. I would just stay on the issue of money,
mm-hmm.
you know, of making money. Right. And I would make tricking sound like you make tricking sound. You don't make it sound hard. You make it sound easy. Like, mm-hmm. oh, I bet you that old man. I mean, I hate to talk like this, but I bet you that old man would come in 5 minutes and you would have $100 in 5 minutes. You know what I mean? And they might don't want to hear that at first, but you keep talking like that.
You just kept plugging away at it, kind of marketing it.
Especially to a broke young person who don't got nothing, who want money, and you just keep telling them how easy it would be. So the thing I put in my book that was funny about the first girl I ever had, so
right.
it was like the third day I was with her, and I was getting kind of tired because she was trying to fuck me every day, and that's like a rule, like you never fuck first. You always get money before you fuck a chick because that's the signature on the contract. Because the way you start is the way you finish. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So you gotta let them know that that's what the business is gonna be. So you never fuck a chick before she give you money. Never. That's a rule. That's a no-no. So it was like the third day, and I was still talking to her, and I said to her, I was telling her about this old guy I knew, and we had got beyond the part where she was like, that's nasty, or I could never do that. We had got beyond that. And I just asked her one day about prostitution, and it just fucked my head up because she said to me, I always thought about being a prostitute. And it was like, it hit me like a ton of rocks. Like, I could not believe that this female that I've been trying to get the prostitute for 3 days just told me that she always wanted to be a prostitute. You know,
well,
and that's
days
how
is still
happen.
3 days. Right.
Yeah.
That makes me think about your first book on how she became a hoe. Sorry to cut you off, but it makes me think about your first book, you know. How she became a hoe, and you said it yourself earlier. Like, there was a certain like common thread, right? There's a history of trauma, whether it's molestation or rape or murder, drugs, violence. So there's a common thread of that. There's a common thread of insecurity. There's a common thread of not having that stable environment and feeling that love. And so
right.
that made those people easy prey, if you will, to have somebody come in and fill them up with this false sense of love and this false sense of stability and false sense of security.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is you would be surprised of what some females, like everybody don't think bad about like prostitution. Everybody don't think bad about stripping. You know, here I was talking to somebody and I never even knew that in her mind she was ready to do it already.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm just answering, like, how did I get my first chick? So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
after she told me that, you know, I couldn't show her no expressions, or, you know, because pimps never show expression. You never show happiness. I don't care if a female came and gave you $2,000. You never show them expression like you happy. You make them tell you everything, how they got the 2,000, to make sure they didn't leave another 2,000 behind. You know, it's always about more and more money. So,
right.
So when I found out that she always dreamed of being a prostitute, I mean, she told me she always dreamed about wearing nice clothes and being a prostitute and traveling in the world. I mean, that was it. It was off to the races. You know what I mean? And
I'm sure, but that's not the average response from someone who comes from a stable environment. You know, little girls who grow up in a stable environment don't just one day say, "I want to be a prostitute." I think that's
like,
grounded
you,
in some type of trauma.
So you don't think a preacher daughter could just want to be a hoe one day?
Well, part of the preacher's daughter. So what is her trauma? Her trauma as a preacher's daughter can still be that lack of love, can still be, you know, disdain for her father being a hypocrite because she's watching him every Sunday behind the pulpit, and then he step off the pulpit and he drink his whiskey and he got his side chick and he do whatever, and so it leaves them confused, you know. It's a lot of that.
It go all back to what you said. It go all back to what you said, like, pussy is sold at all different levels, whether it's a husband and wife, a boyfriend and
right.
girlfriend, a side chick,
yeah.
a mistress, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Pussy is being sold, and believe it or not, dick is being sold. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that sounds like people would never believe that, but it's men out here who actually sell dick. You know what I mean?
It's everywhere.
So, yeah,
sexual exploitation, we could say that. Sexual pleasure.
Sexual
there's all
pleasure,
type of sexual
so.
Pleasure. People get off in all kinds of ways, right? Some people, you know.
So
people
my life is like vivid and all that stuff. It's like, whereas I could talk about it because I don't
mm-hmm.
really talk about it that much. But
mm-hmm.
I almost can't believe that was really me living that
right.
out like that
mm-hmm.
because it came so natural to me, like you just said, like,
mm-hmm.
like it came so natural to me. Like I never really had to beat down doors and stuff like that to get girls to do what I wanted to do. It was like,
right.
this is the game. Are you with it? Let's do it. You know what I mean? Now, that go back to what you just said a minute ago is because of the upbringing, the
mm-hmm.
lack of the love, the molestation from baby father. I mean, they mother's wives being sold for drugs by their mothers. And trust
mm-hmm.
me, that had happened a lot. I have heard
a lot
of horror stories in my life. In my 20
mm-hmm.
years, I heard some horror stories.
Right.
I heard stories that females could never imagine that girls went through
yeah.
at the hands
yeah.
of their mother, at the hands of their parents.
Right.
And some of it would almost make you, like, cry a river like you wouldn't believe it. You know, but anyway, let's move on. Let's move on.
I mean, and yeah, and so, you know, we're spending, you know, a bit of time here just to kind of put it into context, right? Because like I said, this story is going
to
travel. We're going
to
go somewhere with the story. But we've seen, I mentioned before, like, you know, Godfather of Harlem. We're talking about the 60s. We're talking about the 70s. Even the 80s, 90s, and even to today. We're talking about urban areas, economically depressed areas, method of survival. You know, if you're not making the salary to pay your bills, you're going to get out here, you're going to hustle, you're going to do what you can to line your pockets. Whether that's selling drugs, whether that's selling whatever you got, right, whatever the hustle is. And this is not justifying any of this, right?
Right.
We're kind of telling the story because you yourself said through that life you realized and you made a lot of mistakes and there were a lot of consequences that I'm sure, I'll you know, bring you to that question later, what your advice would be, right, moving forward. But before we go there, there's just a couple of other questions. I'm looking at the time, and I know we're running out of time. But I got to ask you this on the top because I need my pimpology up. I want to make sure my lingo is correct, right? Because I heard a lot about it. I don't know firsthand, but, you know, I have to, who else can I ask? So this is a couple of definitions maybe you could help me out with.
What's the bottom woman?
We did the project called The Bottom, What's the bottom woman?
The bottom woman to a pimp is his main woman. That's the woman that he could trust. He could trust to run the other girls when he ain't around. He could trust her to collect his money. That's the woman that he know without a shadow of a doubt that she got his back. You know what I mean? No matter what,
Is that the one you fell in love with?
A couple of times, yeah. You can say that.
So let's hold on to that idea of loyalty, management, integrity. We'll circle back to those ideas, right? When it comes to love. Okay, so a bottom woman kind of holds it down, holds the foundation down, if you will, the bottom.
Right.
All right. So then what's a choosy Susie?
A choosy Susie is somebody who one minute she would diss pimp, the next minute she would another pimp. You know what I mean? She just all over the place. You know what I mean? So you might see her this month, she might be this one pimp. You might see her another month, she might be with another pimp. You know, you might see her another month. She might be in between pimps. You know what I mean? That's a choosy Susie.
I wonder what she's in search of. I'm just thinking out loud.
What's she in search of?
She's hopping around. Yeah. Stability. Is it that loyalty?
Now that I can't tell you because I ain't got a whole mind. So.
I mean, we're just thinking out loud, right? We're going to try to bring it all back.
I don't know. I guess.
So maybe
guess
not a whole mind.
Could be she trying to find what's best for her. One man could be taking too much of her money. One man could be beating her ass. One man could be, she not happy with him. His sex not be right. One man might make her work all the time. You know what I mean? So she's steady choosing different to try to find the right one.
Okay.
That's a choosy Susie. People learning a lot of game today. They learning a lot of game
today. I'm looking at the time. You tell us what's up next, okay? So, what is an outlaw? Am I saying that right?
An outlaw, a renegade.
A renegade hoe. Yeah.
A renegade hoe or an outlaw is a chick who she just wanna be around hoes. But she want to keep the money for herself. She don't want no pimp. You know what I mean? That's a renegade. She's an outlaw.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Pimps call that an outlaw. Like, she don't want no pimp. She thinks she could do it all by herself. You know what I mean? She want to talk to other girls.
Label.
She's an outlaw.
She's an independent label? So she's independent. She want to keep her own money. She want to call her own shots.
I can't say that.
That's a renegade.
My pimp mentality won't let me say that
word. All of these qualities, and I'm taking notes because we're gonna bring all these qualities back full circle. Search of independence. Search of stability. Search of security. Okay. So then the last one would be in regards to pimps. What's a gorilla pimp?
Oh, a gorilla pimp is that's a pimp to get everything. He get everything by force. You know what I mean? Like he don't get nothing by being smooth, having the gift of gab, knowing what to say at the right time. He's somebody that if she don't do what he gonna do, he gonna put his foot in her ass. You know, he gonna knock her upside the head, you know what I mean? He rule with an iron fist, you know what I mean? All his shit is by force. You know what I mean? That's a gorilla pimp. Everything they do is by force. So
they don't sound like they last long. Gorilla pimps
be
don't sound like they have a long lifespan.
You'd be surprised what females, I mean, I don't like to say this, but you'll be surprised what females like. You know what I mean?
Whether it's what they like or what they're conditioned to. Again, coming from this place of trauma and abuse and insecurity and instability, domestic violence is still, very much a real thing. So a lot of women stay with their abusers, because of other issues. So,
are you ready to answer the question about how you feel about pimps?
Well, I just want to mention. Laying down the groundwork, right? And there's so much more to talk about, but, laying down the groundwork as to even how it gets started. I'm hearing you say sometimes it just comes naturally. It's just like a charm thing. Yeah. You're charming. You making a woman feel good about herself, feeling confident. She herself may want to is already having these thoughts, but might not have the outlet or the vehicle to play it out. So, she meets up with somebody, whatever. Like, this gorilla pimp that I'm hearing about, like, he needs to be put to sleep. But, like, a type of goon, like, you got to put him to sleep. But I don't know. So there's a lot of levels. I want to learn more. I'm a teacher and I'm a student. So I don't place judgment. Help me understand. So that's why I'm, again, appreciate this conversation because I can't understand that.
I was smooth. You know what I mean? I didn't need to be. I wasn't no gorilla. I was smooth. I like people who like me. I want people who want the same things I want. If I eat steak, she eats steak. If I wear silk, she wears silk. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's how I was when I was out there doing it. You know what I mean? Like, I just had one common goal, and that was for us to make money. And I guess quote unquote get rich, you know what I mean? And I want everybody to know, I made a lot of money. I had a lot of good times, but I had a lot of bad times.
Right.
Everybody think of pimping and they think of slow. You got a lot of women and you got a lot of money, but nobody can think of the tragic side of pimping. Diseases, time from your kids, from your family, getting addicted to drugs, jail, prison. Like, nobody thinks of that. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I
definitely don't want the audience to walk away tonight. Just thinking that it's all about, glorifying this life because there's another side. There's another side to the story, and we're running
they got $1 million worth of game tonight.
So before, I'm looking at the clock, and I see we running out of time. So I got, before we end, or press pause, I should say, one tonight,
right.
I got to throw this one out here. And, this question comes on behalf of Juicy Crew. Shout out to Juicy Crew, all right, in Patterson. You know Juicy Crew very well. And
right.
So we want to know two things.
Okay.
The first question is, how did you become a hoe?
How did I what?
How did you become a hoe?
Wait, I didn't hear you. Say that again.
How did you become a hoe?
How did I become a hoe?
What happened?
What you mean, the book?
I said it three times.
No, somebody trying to call me when I'm doing the show. I'm sorry.
Mm.
What you mean, how did I how did I become a hoe? Or how about the book?
No, not the book. I'm talking to the man. I'm talking to you.
No, I don't really think I was a hoe. Think so. I mean, maybe you can answer that for me. What's a man hoe? I don't know. What's a man hoe?
I don't know. I mean, we're talking about hoe tendencies and behaviors. You know, like I said, it's not necessarily just a title, but it's rather like behaviors and, you know, decisions and lifestyles. I guess, you know, do you define yourself? Did you define yourself? Not today, of course.
Did you define yourself
as a hoe?
Hold on one second. If somebody out there and they're on the line and you want to speak to, you want to come on, you got to press 1. You know what I mean? Because somebody trying to call my phone and they're interrupting the show. If you want to come on the show, you got to press 1. If you're on the line, you got to press 1, and then I could tell you want to say something.
Right.
Okay, somebody press 1. Couple of people.
And I know we got the audience out there with a lot of questions. And again, you know,
yeah,
we welcome the comments and questions, and we know this is just the beginning.
We get ready to do the Q&A in a minute.
Right.
Other than when I was younger, I would say consider myself like I was a hoe, like any other guy.
Okay.
Once you start feeling yourself, you want to sleep with as many women as you could. You know, it's a trophy and stuff like that. But as I got older, I really would never consider myself as a hoe. Like, I don't know. I just don't consider myself as one.
Okay.
As I got older, I've never been a pussy fiend. You know what I mean? Like,
And so does being a hoe just means being promiscuous? Is it just related to just having a lot of sex? Or does it also speak
Yeah, I guess
to,
so. It
a
depends.
Mentality?
If some people just want to have sex and they don't want nothing out of it. That's what I mean.
Mm.
Some people don't want nothing.
Okay.
Some people don't want nothing. See, I'm at the age right now, like I like to say, I don't believe in love. I'm at the age right now,
right.
I don't really need love. I don't need love. You know what I need? I need an agreement. I need a female with me that we agree on something. And I got a female like that. I agree to support her. She agreed to support me. I agree to be loyal. She agreed to be loyal. I agree to hold her down. She agreed to hold me down. I agree to watch her back. She agreed to hold my back. She agreed to watch my back. I don't talk
right.
to love stuff right now. I don't want to hear nothing about loving nobody. You know what I mean? I have an agreement
okay.
with you, and your word is your bond, and your bond is your life. So.
Right.
That's where I'm at, and that's what more people should do. Fuck love, have an agreement. Now, anyway.
the holding each other down, that sounds like love. That sounds like
okay.
love. But we'll come back to that. This
yeah,
is a good
I got,
start,
we got
though.
A lot of, we got a lot of callers on the line, so let me bring some of the callers. You going to stay with us?
I'm here. Let's go.
Okay, we got some callers on the line. I don't even know which way to go. Let me see. We're gonna get to everybody, please. Nobody don't hang up. let's start off right here at the bottom. Right here. 1 second. Come on, dang. Let's see this one. 2706, you on the line.
Hello.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? 706.
I can hear you.
Yeah.
2706, she's here.
Oh, okay. I hear you. All right. The voice sounds familiar, like a baritone, but go ahead.
Hello. Yes, the baritone voice, you should know it. Hello. I just want to first say that I want to say I, too, as your sister, I have listened in quite a few nights in support of my niece, I'm sure people that have been listening have heard me before. Yes, and I have a manly voice, and I'm sleepy. But I just want to say, Jennifer, you did a great job interviewing.
Thank you.
The host.
Thank you.
So I think you should definitely get a hand clap on that.
Right.
I do believe
Thank
that
you.
Randy, well, Jay Sean did a great job answering as much as he could in a limited amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
This definitely could go on and on and on, part two, as you said. I don't really have a question. I just wanted to just give a shout-out that, as you said, sometimes you look back in life and the things that you said or did when you grow up, you can't believe that those are the things that you said and did. And
right.
You know, people look past that. People always want to put you in that box of where you were. And sometimes you got to just say, okay, that's where I was, but that's not where I'm at anymore. Because
right.
People are always going to want to keep you in that box. Even myself, you know, you try to change little things and people try to bring you back to where you were. But, you know, as long
right.
as you know that you're trying to grow, that's all that matters. It don't matter about what people say to try to put you back in that box. Because at some point in everybody's life, people have done things that they regret or they wish they never did or wish they did do. Like you said,
yeah.
Some girls out here that wish they was a hoe. They
right.
never got into you. They got into all these fucked up relationships. And at some point in their life, I'm sure they wish they did have a different relationship and different experiences, then they would have learned their lesson early. So I just wanted to call in, like I said, in support of both of you. I like the question about you being a hoe because you kind of stumped him. Because people don't realize sometimes that they are. People don't realize that they are also hoes. They love to say about other people, but they don't never look at their life and realize that, hey, I might have been a hoe.
somebody texted me and said, She right. Whatever you said. I don't
That's
know what
right.
the hell you said, but
yeah.
she right.
Right.
I don't know, but
it's the truth because you look back on your life and you realize that you might have done some things that you now are saying you can't believe you did or you said.
That's
or,
what I'm saying. Like what is a hoe? Is it the behavior or is it a mentality?
Right. Is it a mentality or is it a behavior? Because just because you're promiscuous, does that mean that you have to be a hoe? Maybe you just like to have sex. And maybe
right.
you just
Jennifer
not
said, Jennifer said, everybody, Jennifer said everybody. Jennifer said everybody's selling pussy. That's what she said at the beginning. That ain't my word.
I've been rallying that for the longest. I've been saying that who in life at this point is not getting paid.
Facebook, Instagram, what advertisement you don't see right now
right.
that's not selling sex?
Exactly. In 2021, if at this point that you're still broke and you have a coochie or a penis, that's a problem. But I'm gonna go ahead and hang up.
Yeah.
Like I said, yeah. I can.
Hey, yo, don't get her started because she really a man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She a pimp. She's a pimp.
Well,
man.
Jennifer has known me since 1990, so I'm sure by now she knows that I should have been a man in another life.
Who do we have as our examples, okay?
Right.
She would have been a damn good pimp too, Jennifer. All right, good night.
Well,
listen.
That's another conversation.
Look,
I always say that he wrote a book about his big brother teaching him the game, but he should have wrote a book about that his niece watched him in the game and learned.
Well, that's another book.
So that's what he should have wrote a
that's
book
That's another
on.
Book. Yeah.
That's another book for
Yo.
Another day.
Yeah.
Yo, thanks for calling in, Cole.
Good
night.
Well,
go ahead. You can make – no, go ahead. What you was going to say?
No. I was going to say, but good night.
Oh, okay.
Somebody just
All right. Thanks.
I'm brilliant.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good night.
All right, we're gonna go to the next caller real quick. 1705, you on the line? 1705.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, 1705.
Hey, what's up? Hello. Oh, that's you, Jen. What's up? 1705. You on the line?
Hello.
Going once. Going twice.
She's here. I hear hello. Hey, 1705. Hello.
No, I don't.
I heard her. She said hello.
Oh,
hello.
See? See? She said, but it ain't up. How do we know it's not us?
Because we're not.
I hear you.
Line.
We hear you.
He's doing the area code. Look, hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Here?
Hey, hello? Can you hear
me? You on the line.
Yes.
Man, first of all, I should come down there, man, and with my belt. First of all. With my belt, because, see, I'm older than all y'all. You know what I mean? Y'all don't know. Y'all got me.
Yo, hold
up,
hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up.
No, somebody real about this talk. All the popcorn and bubblegum stops right here.
No, hold up, hold up,
stops
hold up.
Right here.
Where you calling
this
from?
This is David Klein. You don't know who this is. You asked me to call.
No, you told me you was going to call.
Oh, okay, all right. So some is tomato, some is tomato. You didn't want me to call you. You said, nah, nigga, call next year, motherfucker. That's what you should have said, man. You know, motherfucker, you know what I mean? You ain't want me to call.
Hey, yo,
let me get up, because I know I ain't got that much time. Hold up. Let me be a sensitive.
Yeah, go ahead.
I done been through everything in my life.
Twice, at least. Dave,
look, have somebody
like
go talk. You've been talking for about hours. Let me see. Give me 2 minutes.
I got a lot of callers. Go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
Let me talk.
All right.
All right. Y'all talking this pimp shit and all that up. Man, let me tell you something. Them days is gone, man. Them days is gone, man. And I'm going to tell you something. I love you, Randy. You know that. Me and you made movies together. We done made music together and everything like that. But you being on a broadcast, I got to say this, because I tell you this in private. I don't tell you this just on the radio. Us black people got to quit degrading each other, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the white man still got up. Took the chains off my ankles and put them on my brain.
Right.
First of all, I broke down some stuff. You had a question. First of all, to my relationships, and this one love you and that one love you, then she love you, then she don't, and the same thing with men. First of all, you got to find a spouse. First, you got to get your shit together.
Right.
Live a respectable life, and then you'll draw people who live a respectable life to you. Now, if you live like a dog, that's what you're going to draw to you, dogs.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, once you raise yourself to a certain standard, because certain women know not to approach me, they know I'm not approaching. You ain't even got a job. How the fuck you going to approach me? You ain't got shit to bring to the table. You know what I mean? What? A pussy is old pussy, but anybody who don't have a dick got a pussy.
Right.
Right.
You
but I'm glad you're leading us to part two.
But look,
that's
look,
the point.
Look, look.
We this is not the end.
All right, hold up.
This is just
let me
the beginning.
Finish, then y'all can go to the next caller. I wrote down these notes.
Okay.
So first of all, you gotta find somebody that likes you first. Somebody who think like you. See, this is what we do. We find a girl in the bar. She got nice titties, nice ass, right? So we go in. We ain't care about what she thinking about. All we see are titties out. And the girls know this. I ain't got to go to school because my titties and my ass going to get me through life.
Right.
But when that ass start dragging and them titties start drooping, what the fuck you got to offer after that?
Right.
Nothing. Not a motherfucking thing. When that beauty, like the baby mama, she was the baddest motherfucking thing in Newark. Now she the ugliest motherfucking thing in Newark. I got
you know what? I can't.
I got to explain to my friends how I had a baby by this ugly motherfucking girl.
I can't.
Hey, yo, Dave, I don't got a lot of time.
Yeah,
look,
but thank you for getting us started. That was we
but
on a part two.
But look, just to get up. But hold up, and you should be. Oh no, and you talking about man? If you hurt me, I've been hurt. Man, I've been hurt. You know, you hurt me, she hurt me, I hurt myself. Fuck that. You got to be stronger than the pain, bro. You got to be stronger than the pain. Girl hurt a girl, man. Anybody hurt you? That's the time when you stand up. The bigger the triumph. Now you can hurt a girl when she hurts you. Next time you see her, you got your shit together, you got another fine girl on your arm, and you don't even speak to her ass when you see her. That's how
you know you my big homie. I don't argue with you. You know that. But look, I gotta go to another.
And hold up, and this is the last one. Anybody out there now? Like I was a little boy. This is the last one. This is the last one. This is Steve. I was a little boy, right? You were talking about when you was 13. See, I was with a pimp too. I ain't gonna tell all you my business, but check it out. I used to sleep with women when I was 13. Everybody thought that was cool. Guess what? That's rape. That's not cool. That's
all
rape.
Right.
If your baby,
I mean, I didn't say I slept with nobody when I was 13.
I'm
I said my brother
to tell
told me to piss game.
What's going on today? I know girls give their daughters to dudes to sleep with.
Oh yeah.
Well, we talked about that. It's founded in trauma, molestation, rape, prostitution.
You take it. You can throw it in the woods.
Dave, next week.
I love your program, man. You be good. And, lady, you did a good job, too.
Thank you. Thank you, love.
My man, that's my man. That's my man, David Klein right there. Like, that's my man right there.
He's taking us into next week.
That's my man. I ain't want to cut him off like that, but we got some other callers on the line I got to get to.
Right.
He always dropping science on me all the time. 0148.
That's the whole point of it.
We're
glad we're
kicking
in
some minds. 0148.
Yeah, that's me.
Who this be?
You can hear me?
Yes, yeah. I can hear you. Oh, okay. I ain't really got a question. What's up, Jen?
What's up?
This Boone.
What's good?
I'm good. I'm listening. You know, I'm definitely tuned in. What's up, Jay? How are you, brother?
This Boone.
Yeah, Boone.
Which one, B.O.?
What do you have? What?
Boone Chef Life.
What do you have
to welcome to the conversation?
What's the deal going on with you tonight? I really don't have a question. I just kind of like, you know what I mean, because I'm listening to Jen talk to you and ask you questions in regards to how, you know, what was it like for you to get that first woman. And truth be told, like, and when I was younger, like, I just loved everything about a pimp. Like, I just loved everything about you. In my eyes, all I seen was plenty money, big cars, plenty women. You know what I mean? I used to tell my grandmother when I was a kid that, you know what I mean, when she asked me, what are you going to do? What are you going to be when you get older? I used to tell her straight up, I'm going to be a pimp. They thought it was funny. I thought it was funny, too. I was a kid. I didn't know no better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But I was like, I'm going to be a pimp. I'm going to buy you I'm going to buy you a big house, and I'm going to have plenty women, plenty cars, plenty money. Man,
right.
Well, 3 out of 4 wasn't bad, but, yeah, as I got older, I realized, no disrespect to you, bro. I despise a pimp, yo. They prey on the weak. Most of them women that they got out there doing whatever they do, them women are weak, though. That was your way of not saying that they were weak or you prey on the weak, but your way of saying they didn't have a family, they didn't have a mother, their father treated them bad, or they, you know what I mean? Like, they weak.
That is why
they can be pimped out, because they just looking for somebody to show them some love. And to be honest with you, that pimp don't love them. You don't got no love for him. Like, oh, bitch, I want my money. I don't give a fat rat's ass what you do. I don't care what's going on in your life. Get that bread.
Yeah.
We talk later.
Right.
So as I got older, you know what I mean? As I got older, I realized that that's not who I am. Like, you know what I mean? I probably couldn't be that pimp that I thought I would be when I was a kid, because I got love for women, man. Like, I got love for women. I couldn't do that. You know what I mean? Like, but in all honesty, they basically where they are because they're weak, and a pimp prey on the weak. That's just how I see it. I mean,
That's That's your opinion. That's why we said earlier that, like, over, I'm in my 50s now. So a lot of that what we're talking about is when I was in my 20s. So that's why they say if you think in the same way at 50 that you thought at 20, you just lost 30 years of your life. So you're right. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of stuff what you said is right. I mean, I could say a couple of things, but I really don't got the time, and I'm not going to say it because that's your opinion, and it's an open platform, you know what I mean? And I respect you for saying that, because you did say you admired them when you was young, but once you matured, you seen it as exploitation, and I respect you. But look, thanks for calling in, man. We got to go to another caller. And, yo, we gonna do part two next Friday.
Thank you, boy.
So come back next Friday.
And oh, I'll be here,
I'll give you a rebuttal. I owe you a rebuttal, and I owe David Klein a rebuttal. So I will definitely be here, brother.
I will definitely be here. It's a good show, Jen. Do your thing,
thank
man. You. Do your thing.
Thank
love
you,
man.
Love
you,
man.
Keep going. Love you too.
Later. Peace.
Three two eight two. Going once, going twice. Well, that's good anyway. 3282. That was good because I wanted to give a closing statement. So 3282, Mister. But before I do that, I want to give a happy birthday shout out to my number one supporter of the show. She haven't missed not one podcast in 14 months, and her birthday is this weekend. So I want to give a very, very, very happy birthday shout out. You know who you is. You know what I mean, we don't have to go into names and all that, but I give you a very, very, very happy birthday, and I appreciate you very much and all the support that you give me on the show. But we got like 5 minutes left. We're gonna do a part two to this show. And but I just wanted to say a couple of things before we sign off.
Jennifer, you did a hell of a job,
for real. For a minute I thought we was like losing track of different things, but we pulled it off. It was good. You know, I mean, we had a lot of callers on the line. I'm sure I'm gonna get a lot of feedback. But sometimes people lose focus of the vision that you have.
Right.
And that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's okay because it's your vision. You know what I mean? So, like what I said in the beginning, before I even started it, I said, this was my life story.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'm not hiding behind nothing.
Right.
And that's why I asked you, what did you think of pimps? You could have said what the last caller said. They prey on the weak and they do this and that. And I wouldn't have said nothing. I respect you, like I respect him. But what I will say to that is that, and what don't make it better, is when you live in the street life, the streets don't love you back. And whether you a pimp and you preying on the weak, or you a drug dealer and you selling poison to other black people, whether you are in a gang and you killing other black people, whether you robbing black people, whether you a guy like plenty of people I know and you got 4 or 5 women and you fucking all of them, you preying on the weak.
Yeah.
If you're not dedicated to one woman and you got 2 and 3 and 4 women and you telling them all the different shit and you misleading them, you preying on the weak. If you a drug dealer and you selling drugs to black people, you preying on the weak.
Right.
Come out here, I tell everybody, I don't come out here to glorify being a pimp. But I was a pimp, and that's part of my life. And if I had to do it all over again, I would do it all over again, because you got to know where you've been to see where you're going.
Well, that's why I never gave you a clear answer, as you saw, because
yeah,
I never
went into a church. I never went into a church and took girls off a pew. I never went into a college and took girls out of a college dorm. I never went to an elementary school and took girls out of there. You know what I mean? And that don't. And I'm not justifying what I did, because, of course, everybody knowing pimping is illegal. Of course, everybody know that ain't right. Everybody knows that. But when you live in that street life, it's a lot of shit that ain't right.
Right.
And I'm not saying this to make myself feel good, because I want people to call up and give their opinions. I don't want everybody to call up and be like, what's up, Jay? What's going on? Nah, I want people to call up here and say what's right and wrong, you know, what's going on with my life. Because it might be somebody that's listening that it might help.
Right. Yeah,
but
exactly.
Don't forget, the street life is the street life. And it ain't. And it
well, that's
ain't,
why
and,
we're
and
dissecting. We talking about. I'm sorry.
You go. No,
my final thought on that is that, like, that's why I thought it was important for us to kind of, you know, build the context first, talk about the pimp game, talk about the pimp life, because out of that, we can then pull, like I said, we can dissect it. We can pull the commonalities. We can pull the thread, as we've already started doing, and we provoked a lot of thought, because we're going to push it, because you're going to continue to tell us your story about what you've
right.
learned from your mistakes and about how you turned it around, about how you, you know, went on to the route to redemption. So, you know,
we got to do a part two. We're running out of time, everybody. Jennifer Ellison, thank you. Thank you very, very much. All the people who called in.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. Please listen next week when we do part two. Everybody that clicked on the link, everybody who bought a book from me today and supported me any kind of way. We're gonna be back here next week, and I want everybody to tune in. You know what I mean? And I just love what I do. You know what I mean? I'm not here by mistake. You know what I mean? It's the reason why I'm here. You know? And we're gonna end that with the ether. We got the ether beat on in the background. If y'all can hear it, I love
nice.
I just want everybody to know, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is an educational show.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't glorify negativity. You know what
right.
I mean? All we do here, we just keep it real. You know what I mean? And that's all we do. We're going to be back next week. And we're going to do the same thing. And I'm going to be right back here telling my pimp stories. And we're going to get into what I'm doing now with the podcast. We're going to get into how I wrote books and how I wrote movies. And when I was in the military, when I was a drug dealer, a drug user. You know what I mean? Because that my life is full circle.
Right.
And that's how I am. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure we're going to get a lot of feedback on the show tonight, and that's cool. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And really, you know what I'm saying? All we doing is we just doing this where we just try to educate. You know?
Thank you.
I mean, that's what you can say. You know what I'm saying? You know,
right.
All we do is, you know, keep it real. That's my motto. Keep it real. Everybody, I want to thank everybody tonight for tuning in. We'll be back next week, same time, same station. We'll be doing part two of The Naked Soul of Jay Sean, interviewed by the lovely, intelligent, vivacious Jennifer Ellison. And I mean, if she come back, you know what I mean? And come back.
I'd love to come back. Now we gotta finish it off. We can't leave it open.
And all my listeners come back. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
Let's hear some more. You know what I mean? Because I'm still gonna be screaming "fuck love." I'm still gonna be screaming. You know what I'm saying? "Fuck love." I'm still gonna be
we'll
telling my
that.
Pimp stories. And I'm just going to be keeping it real. That's, you know what I'm saying? And that's all. Like, that's all I can say. Keep it real. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming in. We tune in next week. Peace and love from the relationship guru. Keep it real.